With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
You're listening to the Clean Comedy Podcast with James Creviston and Luke LaCoy.
Everybody, welcome to the Clean Comedy Podcast. I'm James. Today we're here with my co-host, Mr. Luke LaCoy. Luke,
hello.
And we have one of the biggest names in the comedy industry here with us today. He was so grateful. We're so grateful that he came to give us a few minutes of his time to talk to us about comedy. If there's any person that you would ever want to ask about comedy, stand-up comedy, the world of the comedy business, show business, this is the guy. This is the one, the only, Mr. Barry Katz. Barry, thank you so much for being on here with us.
Wow, I made the cut. I can't believe it.
We are super honored to have you here. So you are a legend in the comedy business. You have done more for comedy than probably anybody in the history of comedy. I mean, you gave a Chappelle show, for goodness sake. Like, we have to be grateful for that, right?
I would I would never take credit for that, believe me. But I will say that I had I represented Chappelle for 8 years, and certainly one of the most amazing 8 years of my life.
Yeah, he is great. You've helped along a lot of careers: Bill Burr, Dave Chappelle, Neil Brennan. I mean, if I started listing names, we'd be here all day. But As a person who shepherded comedians forward in their careers, what is the one thing that you look for when you come to represent a comedian or you want to get involved in a comedian's career? What's that thing you look for? I know you say be undeniable, right? But what's the it factor? What's the undeniable factor that you look for?
I think the biggest thing that I look for instinctually is somebody who understands how to win the war. And I know what you're saying. Well, how is it possible to know who's going to win? And instinctually, it's just a feeling about somebody who has these natural instincts of what it takes to beat the hidden enemy. And when I say the hidden enemy, I'm not sure it's metaphorical, but let's just presume that, let's just say Luke is an actor going up for a role in a television series. And he's got the same script to read for his part that 100 other people have. Okay? And right. So he gets the script and he prepares tremendously. He does everything he can. He thinks about how he's going to get this gig and be on television for maybe 7 years. But he doesn't know what the other 99 people are doing. He doesn't know how they're strategizing. He doesn't know if they're adding a little nuance where they're kind of touching their eye like that as a character tick, or if they're the kind of person who just goes like that with their face, or if they, you know, he doesn't know if they're going to add a little bit that they improv where they yell at the end of something and then calm down and cry. Gotcha. He doesn't know anything. So all he can do is be the best he can be and strategize of what he's got to do to win the war. And the people who strategize how to do that and instinctively know how to be better than 99 other people, even though they have no idea what they're doing or what they're going to do, are the people that are always going to win and always going to move forward in whatever it is. I don't care if you work at Chipotle or if you are doing sets at the comic strip in New York or if you're doing TV auditions. And so what I normally look for is the instinctual feeling inside me that somebody has that ability to do that.
I like that. That's such like a wise thing to say. Like, oh my gosh, this in your bones. You know this person is going to be something amazing. And a lot of us always hope that there's someone in our life who comes up and says, hey, you're gonna be something amazing, that teacher or that mentor or whatever. And so I'm guessing that's a big key to why comedians do succeed under you, is because you also believe in them. At least that's what I would think.
The key as a manager, there's a lot of keys as a manager, but you want to be able to believe in your artists as much as they believe in you. You want to be the kind of person that if you said to them, listen, you can have a meeting with the most important person in show business. Who do you want sitting beside you during that meeting? And if that's me, then I've done my job. And they know that I can orchestrate things the right way. I think I'm a different kind of manager. That's an interesting thing. It kind of goes back to what I was talking about. I have no idea what other managers do. There's no management college. I've never seen what other managers do, how they do it, how they're on the phone. All I knew is how I am. So I'm an instinct person. I sit down when I'm managing somebody or I'm working on a television show or I'm doing a film or even if I'm consulting, I do a lot of consulting, it's all instinctual. It's this weird thing where I don't have necessarily these lists of things. Okay, today we're going to work on this and tomorrow here's study this. I can just sit across from somebody and instinctually know a plan of action to do, and I can't quantify why. I could never even begin to sit here and tell you because I don't understand. The other day I was on with somebody, and instinctually I told them that I felt that they should turn their phone off 2 hours before every gig until an hour after the gig. And try that for a week. And it worked amazingly well for them. Now, there's other artists who, you know, being on the phone means nothing to them. I mean, it's like literally, I've been on sets with, let's say, like Kevin Costner, and he's standing there and he's telling you a story and he's on his mark. He's on his mark, you know, to wait for action. He's like, yeah. And I was in Vegas and I remember my band played and we did this great song and Prince was in the audience and it was incredible action. Okay, hang on 1 second. And then they'll just do the scene and then they'll finish, cut, check the game. Yeah, and then what happened was he played like an hour and a half. It was incredible and unbelievable and like nothing happens. And then there's other people who need the deck cleared.
Yeah.
And so, but I don't know when I'm going to run into those people. Like when I met Tracy Morgan and I was able to get him a test for Saturday Night Live, he never worked in front of a white audience in his entire career, ever. And I instinctively went into my office. There was an open office that was for rent next to mine on 57th Broadway. And every day I'd work with him for like 4 hours on the set. I'd bring certain people from the office in who were Caucasian, and we'd test out what was funny, what wasn't. And then we'd go to some of the white clubs to check out what was funny, what wasn't. We built the set. And I don't want to go into the whole story, but suffice to say, 48 hours before his test, I was called by SNL telling them that they felt that he was the one person on the show that probably wasn't going to get it. So they wanted to cut down the showcase by one. I went back and forth with them a million times because there's no email back then, no text, no, you just have to call and hope you get somebody or fax or messenger. And then finally I got a call that day that he was on and he got the show.
Nice.
And so I've always felt good about those relationships with artists and being able to do those things that we could sit here all night and I'd never be able to give you a formula, because my formula works when I sit across from an artist or I do a Zoom across from an artist and I just do things that I think will work for them. Like, just to give you one more example, there was one person who I was working with on an hour special. I don't know why. I said, I think I want to meet with you for two full afternoons. I don't know why I said that. I hadn't really done that before. I went to CVS. I bought index cards. I don't even know what I'm doing. I've never bought index cards. And I tell him to get a hotel room somewhere. And I get some tape and some index cards. And we start rating his routines from the best to the worst.
I love
and
that.
Everyone has a number. And then we start taping these things on the wall. And then we start putting the hour special together. And at the end of 2 days, we had the whole hour special. Now, I know that on television shows, you know, it's typical on talk shows. You see the bulletin board with each day and the guests and the act breaks and everything like that. But I never did that with a comedian before. I don't know why. It worked for this person and it was great. So I'm almost embarrassed to say that I sort of work very differently than other people. And but thank God it hasn't failed me.
Awesome. Luke, did you have a question?
First off, that's really neat that you have such a creative, intuitive style. That's something we don't hear often, you know, when when we interview. So that's really cool. And having worked with so many comedians, do you have like one comedian in particular who's just like kind of like you have a favorite, or has that just like kind of blew away their special, or one that just like really, I don't know, sticks out from all the others that you've worked with?
I mean, I know it seems like a cop out. They all have very, very unique idiosyncrasies.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had all the answers about what everyone has that makes them so special, but everyone has something. Naturally, obviously, Chappelle was uniquely special because I was working with him when he was a teenager and through his 20s. And, you know, I saw him grow up and become a man. And just a really wonderful, genuine guy who had a really great voice. But that doesn't mean that everybody didn't have their own unique thing. Like Melissa Villaseñor really has impressed me because she had so many different talents. She was a great artist where she drew these amazing things. She could sing. She could act. She could do plays on Broadway. She could do impressions. But she was also very, very unbelievably vulnerable. Incredibly vulnerable. Like nothing, you know, you couldn't believe that somebody with this much talent was so gentle and soft and kind and innocent, like a little bird. And but then things would come out of her that were just so incredible. Tracy Morgan was a guy who was just completely raw. He didn't have necessarily the material, but he was just a character of the game.
Yeah.
And you just love being around him. Jay Moore was just confidence, power, cockiness, the knowledge that he was going to always win. He was going to book the acting job. Didn't matter if he was sitting across from Tom Cruise or Tom Jones. Nick Swartzen, the kid who literally wrote the script Malibu's Most Wanted on a spiral notebook, and pulled it off with those little things that go all over the place and faxed it to Jamie Kennedy, and before you know it, they were making the movie. Dane Cook, to be able to press a button and sell out two shows at Madison Square Garden and Boston Garden when everybody's looking at you, shitting on you. Oh, that's social media stuff. Nobody does that, kid. It's a pipe dream, building a website. Who has a website? Napster? You're putting stuff on Napster? You're nuts. And so I've seen so many things. Wanda Sykes, that great voice. Oh, Bill Burr just turning the corner. Ken Jeong being a doctor and fighting through with, internally because he had such a great relationship with his patients and wanting to break through and be in the entertainment business. There's just one after Jim Gaffigan, goal was to do the Letterman show, did the Letterman show, killed, came off stage. I said, Jim, I'm so proud of you. The first words to me were, when am I going to do it again? Jim Brewer, one of the funniest guys off and on stage that I've ever met in my entire life. There's just so many. Louis Anderson.
Yes.
I mean, huggable, lovable, always figures out a way to win. The guy didn't work for 12 years and then wins an Emmy Award for Baskets. That's, that lets you know the talent never dies. I can name so many others that I'm so blown away by. Even people like, Brad Williams, who's like the only, literally the only little person in the country that sells out shows. It's just incredible, what he can do, and he always kills. He always gets standing ovation. And he's 4'4". Guy walks around as a beautiful, regular size wife. I think to myself, I get out of the shower and I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh my God, am I ever going to be with somebody again? Am I ever going to have a life where I'm, in a certain space? This guy, rolls out of bed, 4'4", makes fun of himself. I got one arm here, I got a big head, I got a big ass, and yet that's one of the most beautiful women in the world, in his life. And then, so it's just like, it amazes me because everybody has their own different thing that that is so exciting to see and how they fight through it. Whitney Cummings.
Oh, yeah.
Whitney Cummings is the kind of person who, like, I mean, she, I picture her in the shower, you know, with her phone in a Ziploc bag. You know, that's the kind of always working, always killing, always knowing how to schmooze and talk to people. And you know, got three shows on the air in 1 year. It's just the things that I've experienced, I sometimes I'm so humbled by it because I can't believe what I've been able to experience, and the artists that I've been able to see, even ones that I don't represent, just to be around them and hang with them. It's just an incredible thing to see. You know, I know I'm rambling, but like, people like, you know, George Lopez. I never represented George Lopez, but I always had a great relationship with him. And I, you know, just to see a guy go on stage and within 1 minute, like, the crowd is like losing their minds. You know, an 18-wheel truck would fall through the ceiling in the back of the club. You wouldn't hear it. And or Joe Coy, the way he just goes on and just, it's just destroys like in seconds.
Yeah,
you know, these are things that Gabriel Iglesias, the way his stories are and how he really cultivated that incredible following. Ray Romano, just how he has become truly an Academy Award level actor. It's just Sebastian Maniscalco, who, you know, who just used to open up for Dane, as well as Bo Burnham. These people all had their own unique voices, and it's incredible to see, even from the beginning when I was starting and, you know, and booking people like Jerry Seinfeld and hanging out with him and seeing what he did. You know, if you just study the greats, it's all there for you to see. It's all there for you to figure out how to win. You just have to study. And as I think it was Royce Clayton, who I interviewed for my podcast, Industry Standard, he said the phrase, I'm sure he wasn't the first to say it, I'm sure it's probably been written on caves, but he said, study greatness, imitate greatness, become great. And I remember when I interviewed David Copperfield, I said, how do you feel about the magic profession? And one of the first things that came out of his mouth was, he said, we all stand on the shoulders of Houdini.
Yep.
And are grateful for the path that he took us on. And all we can do is enhance the level of power and magnitude of the profession that he put forth. And that's what we all have. We all have that. We all have that in our profession. If you're a stand-up, study George Carlin, study Pryor, study Hackett, study Rodney Dangerfield. You can study anybody. If you're an actor, I mean, I can't even tell you how many times I go on YouTube and watch Alec Baldwin do that scene from Malice, I Am God. It's 2 minutes long. I love it. Or I watch him do Coffee is for Closers, that 7-minute scene, you know, from Glengarry Glen Ross. I mean, I love watching great performances. When I was a kid, I was running the club in New York, and Showtime at the Apollo went after SNL on Saturday nights. And, you know, I remember buying a VCR, or as I like to call it, a $400 clock in my living room. And I used to put the 6-hour tape on when I went to the club so I could watch Showtime at the Apollo and see these young comedians go on, but also the great musical artists. And I remember watching Jennifer Holliday sing that song, I'm Not Going, You know, you're gonna love me, you know, that big breath. And the crowd was standing in like 2 minutes, and it was insane. And I thought to myself, God, you know, that's the kind of artist that, you know, I want to be around. I want to be around the artists that move people. And I know this is a long rant here, but just to close it off here, you know how to make the impact by watching how people make the impact, but it's all about like a horror movie. It's the surprise. Everything is the surprise in comedy, and the bigger the surprise, the bigger the laughs. The more original the surprise, the more the applause. That's why when you watch Jim Jeffries do the gun control bit, it's just uncontrollable laughter. You're watching a guy go in where half the crowd loves guns, half doesn't. And he just goes in unexpected directions and just destroys people. And I remember I had an intern that was working with me. And they said, you know, I really want to do the open mics, but I'm nervous. I don't know what to do. You know, I'm a little scared. And I said, listen, what greater feeling is there in the world when you can't lose? You know, right now you're sitting in your chair in your house, and if you go out there and you do well, you've won. If you don't do well, you're back in the chair. So, I mean, you can't, there's nothing that can happen, you know, bad. Yeah, you can do poorly, but then you're just back in the chair again.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I like that. That's so good. And that's true. We as comedians still even stand on the shoulders of giants. And I always say that too, that we should study comedy. You know, I read comedy. I break down jokes. We go over them because it's just so important to know what came before us so we can build the road ahead of us, you know. Speaking of building the road ahead of us, you have the Blueprint for Success in Comedy business coming out soon. When is that going to be released? Because I'm very excited about it, by the way. So,
yeah, just for the audience to know. And I just want to say one thing about one tag on the last thing.
Okay.
So I convinced this intern to go out and do an open mic, and they're in New York, and they reach out to me. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning, and they say, can I send you what I did? And I said, sure. And I watch it before I get on the phone with them. And I literally am like blown away. And I'm blown away because, number one, this person, if you thought I said Melissa Villaseñor was gentle and soft, this woman is like literally like doesn't, you know, very shy, nothingness, like just, I mean, not nothingness, but very shy and just very overly reserved. And I watched the 5 minutes and I am blown away. Because firstly, it's not comedy. She's singing. I didn't know she was singing. I didn't know she was gonna sing. Secondly, it was like that feeling you felt when Susan Boyle walked out and you're not expecting anything, and then that voice comes out of them and you're like, what the hell is going on? Now, this intern wasn't physically like Susan Boyle, but I think you know what I'm saying. And I thought to myself, this is what it's all about. They surprised me. They blew me the F away. I mean, just completely F'd me up. And that's what you got to do. So the blueprint for success is something I've been working on for about a year and a half now. I've spent way, 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 way too much money developing it, but I really wanted to work on it because I have the podcast, which is free. And that's great because people get the information and they get all these stories. And, you know, the industry standard has really been wonderful. And I've been able to interview everybody from Kevin Hart to the president of Netflix, Ted Sarandos, to so many different artists, Bill Burr, you name it. And it's not, it's entertaining, but I'm working on getting people the information of how to succeed. But I've been doing that for a long time, and I wanted to figure out a way where I could step up and do something where I could be available for people, but not in a way that was going to hurt my other businesses. So during the pandemic, I filmed over 300 hours of content and put different things together to create like all these different programs, probably 6, 7, 8 different programs, from advice from comedians to animation to kind of a quasi ongoing masterclass that would be every month, to on camera, just me being live with people once a month, twice a month, 3 times a month, 4 times a month, whatever tier they decide to go on. And so they wouldn't have to spend the kind of money that the people pay for me when I consult with them, because, you know, that, I mean, obviously the people who I do consulting with, they pay a lot of money and they get me full time, not full time, but they get me, they have access to me, like, and my ideas and my thoughts alone.
Yeah.
But I wanted to do something which would kind of bridge the gap between the free and that would be affordable to people and really help them get to the next level. And so that's what I've been working on. And I don't have the date next month it's going to launch, but it just go to my website, barrykatz.com. You can leave a message and we'll get back to you and we'll send you some stuff. And I'm excited for it. I'm excited for it because, you know, I can help people and I don't hurt what I'm doing in, like, if I'm managing something, it's not hurting them. If I'm doing a film, it's not hurting that. If I'm doing a television series, it's not taking away from that. I can do these things in my spare time, but it's not for nobody. It doesn't feel like it's spare time. Why would it? Because they're getting my time. They're just getting my time at times of the day that where I normally wouldn't be working. And so I'm really excited about that. And I even tried something recently where one of my friends is became the vice president of Cameo, and he called me and he said he was doing a beta test with a new program where people could give advice for 5 minutes on a pop, and they could set up time blocks, and they had this technology that they just developed that has this rolling 5 minute blocks where I can give people advice. And I said, as long as I don't have to give people birthday messages or whatever, I would be glad to give people advice and answer their questions in 5 minute blocks. And so I take 1 hour at lunchtime every Friday, and it's sold out the past your first 2 or 3 times I've done it. And so that's been exciting too, because you get to talk to people from all over the world for 5 minutes, and they're asking their questions, and there's a countdown, and they can re-sign up for other weeks, which they do, but it's another area where the world has changed, and thank God I'm able to help people, but I'm also able to still do what I love, which is the management and the TV and film and things of that nature.
Dang, you don't do birthday shout outs. I was going to try to get a Barry Katz birthday shout out for my birthday next month, man.
not even if you paid money, that's not
gonna I love it. So we talked about what comedians do, how they be successful. Do you accept unsolicited, like, comedians are gonna like email you and say, hey Barry, I'd like to talk to you about representing me, or that kind of stuff, or do you go out and search for them? What's the process for that for you?
I mean, it can go either way. And people reach out to me every day. It's really insane, but it's wonderful, and I'm honored and I'm flattered. But I really don't necessarily have that much time for anything like that. But you know, I try to point them in the right directions of the things that I'm working on. Sometimes they're relentless, and then they just want to help them. I consult with them, and I'll do a monthly thing with them where I'll, you know, talk with them once a week or once every other week on Sunday or Saturday to, you know, help their careers in whatever way I can. It's a really interesting time. It just lets you know that anything is possible to use your mind and take what you have in your mind to help people. And symbiotically, if it makes you a little bit of money for the Jewish Boy College Fund, that's fantastic.
I love it. Luke, one more question, and then we're going to let Barry go because we were taking up his time, and he's a valuable man.
Cool. Kind of, I guess, staying on like the pandemic.
Luke, wait a second. Yeah. You got to explain something to me.
Yes. So
explain the dynamic between the both of you. I'm very confused about this whole thing because it's like, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, James keeps saying, hey, Luke, you want to ask a question? It's like literally if James didn't say, Luke, you want to ask a question, I'd be like staring at you, smiling at me, you know, all day long. I'd be like, what the hell happened? Who's Luke? Why is Luke here? What's happening? What is he doing? Is he, and so I want to know what the dynamic is here because I'm fascinated by it.
I've been wondering the same questions for years.
Your hair is fantastic. Let me tell you, you won the war with your hair. You could get like in a hurricane and your hair would never move. It's incredible. It's fantastic. I love that hair.
Thank you.
What's the dynamic between your guys?
Go ahead, Luke.
I'm James's support system. I think that's I'm the behind the scenes guy, and I make appearances.
You're the behind the scenes guy, yet you're on the scene all the whole podcast. Right.
Well, Barry, you know that voice in your head that corrects you when you kind of go off course. Luke is that voice for me, so that's why I have to keep throwing it to him because otherwise he'll kind of let me go and then he'll catch me later on. So I have to bounce back and forth to be able to make sure that I'm doing on the right path.
That's Luke, what he does. You corrected me and got me back on course. Basically, you guys have been able to ask 2.5 questions in an hour. It's not been productive, I don't think, for you.
I loved hearing the stories. So this was super interesting for us, and I think the listeners will, you know, love the stories as well.
Oh yeah. All right, you had a question, Luke. Don't let him get you off track.
Okay. Since technology has changed, James and I were both big on, like, you know, do comedy shows yourself. You know, do as much as you can yourself. You know, don't wait on other people to, you know, do it for you. So in that realm, for comedy productions or comedians doing their first special, do you have any like do's and don'ts of like, for a comedian who wants to produce their own special?
Oh, absolutely. So I have so many pieces of advice because I've done 40 specials. Mm-hmm. I just finished doing one in Utah, one of the first ones back. With Marty Kollner, who did Carlin and Robin Williams and Seinfeld and did Rolling Stones, and this guy, Marcus wow. Rayboy, who directed Whitney Cummings and Martin Short and Steve Martin, and with this guy, Garrett Gunderson, who's a really funny, amazing comedian and also a financial guru, and he did a special where he mixed money and comedy together. So, putting a special together, people think it's easy. They think, oh, you know, all I have to do is do this, and this, whatever. The biggest advice I would give anybody is that there's two things you're looking at. You either are doing a proof of concept special to where you're filming it to show executives what you can do, and for them to say, okay, here's some cash, we'll have you go off and do something for us. And the other side of the coin is just doing one where it's camera ready, ready to go on television, which is obviously much more expensive. And for the one that you're trying to do, that you sell directly to networks that they don't have to do anything to, there are certain things that are so important that you can't, you don't even really think about it as a comedian. And I'll tell you a few of them that will surprise you.
All right.
One is the depth of a stage. Now, when you're a comedy person working, you're excited when you're working and the wall is right there. Sometimes you're excited, like at the Comedy Cellar, where you can just lean against the wall and everybody's like around you and it's really wonderful and great. But watch three random comedy specials. And one of the things you'll notice that will blow you away is how much space there is from the comedian's back to the back of the theater wall or the wall where they're performing. It's unbelievable. You can't even imagine that would, you know, any comedian would ever think of doing that. We're like, I'm not gonna perform where there's like all this in back. What is, you know, bring them all up here and do it. But the depth behind them and the lighting behind them, and the way it's lit behind an artist, it just makes it look really, really great and grand. And it's a really special thing that a lot of people don't even really think could possibly mean anything. Second thing that's really important, even though it doesn't even seem like it's important, and you can't even think about it, like you're like, what? The lighting. I mean, the lighting is so important to a special. And obviously comedians, the thing they look at the least is how much space is behind them and how, what the lighting is. And the next thing that's really, really important, incredibly important, which a lot of comedians don't think about, is the sound, you know, and where you hang the microphones in the room and how you mix it and how you get it together and how you get those extra laughs and crowds. So right before the show, when you have your warm-up comic on, you want them getting laughs and you want to record the laughs because you want to have a bucket of a file where you can mix things together if you have to. Get some applause breaks during that time. You want the handheld camera guy to be getting those audience shots in case you need to cover a edit or a cut. And these things are really important because you're obviously going to have, look, I'm not going to tell a comedian who's doing their special, hey, look, make sure you have great material. Well, obviously, well, if you don't have great material, you're fucked anyway. Ooh, I
we'll cut it.
But, you know, it's like, it's just, so that's obvious. You have to be undeniable. You have to blow people away. So, presuming you figured out a way to do that and do original material and not what part of the chicken does the McNugget come from, or, you know, we're talking about tray tables on airplanes or, you know, hey, Gilligan's Island, I don't understand. They can make a blender out of two bamboo poles, but they couldn't fix a hole in a boat this big. How is it possible? And how come Ginger never did this? Anyway, so you know, you want something special, but it's the presentation that's really, really means a lot. Don't shoot yourself on a video and not know who's in the front row where that wide shot can see the heads. You can't believe like what I've seen. Like I remember seeing one guy's beautiful, everything's beautiful. And there's a guy in the front row, like 600 pounds in the front row, just like this, with, you know, a bald head. And it's like this beautiful place. Everything's beautiful. And there's this massive man, like, right there in every shot. I have nothing against massive men. I used to be one myself before the pandemic, before I lost, you know, a family of four. But you know, you got to look at everything. Look at, don't, the special I was shooting, they were about to roll cameras, and like, you know, one table had some nachos in the front. One glass had a Budweiser logo on it. One woman was wearing a hat up front. You know, it's like you have to know what's going to be on there and what's going to happen. And so, and that way you can make it the best it can be. And I have so many other things that I could talk about, but that's in the blueprint, how I tell people how to shoot a special and how to do it from start to finish. So, but you know, the whole thing is again, going back to looking at what's been done in the past, seeing what you like, trying to find, if you don't have a lot of money, try to find some great young people who can emulate. Okay, you sit down with this group of young people. They just want to do great work. Okay, guys, listen, I like this thing from the Whitney Cummings special where the lighting, where they had these lights that came up against the curtain like this and crossed and crisscrossed that way. You know, the Bill Burr special, I like this one effect he did where he had like a blue curtain. It was very basic, but it was, the color scheme on it was great. Look, the seating in this Veer Das special, I really liked the way they put the tables and chairs this way. And there was a little part here where people almost seemed like they were on stage. And so you just pick the things you love and you just tell your group, okay, these are the things I love about these specials. Let's try to do the best we can to kind of like make it our own, but, you know, use the things that are going to be helpful.
That's perfect. Well, we do not want to take up any more of your time. We are so grateful for every moment that you gave us, Barry. We're so, so thankful for you coming and speaking with us and sharing with our audience. Is there anything you want to plug besides the podcast, the Industry Standard, which is amazing. If you guys haven't heard it, go check it out. Barry talks to all kinds of people. I love listening to the interviews on there. I'm a big Judd Apatow fan myself, so that's good for me. Super nerdy. All his stuff touches my soul. It's who I am. I want to be the next Judd Apatow. I don't know if that'll ever happen because he's amazing, but I'll get as close as I possibly can. So is there anything else you want to plug, Mr. Katz?
Yes, if anybody has a better ring light for their I feel like I'm literally wearing a white cake makeup. Like, I feel like I'm wearing white face. Is what's happening. But I want some advice from Luke on how to learn how to never miss an important opportunity to shuck up. I think that's what I'd love to. That's what Dr. Phil told me anyway. So. But I really enjoy you guys. You guys have a great energy. You're wonderful. I'm really honored that you chose me. It was either me or Dustin Diamond, and he didn't make it. So I'm glad that I really could be here today. As Jeff Ross would say, it was either me or the parrot from Beretta. So it's good I'm here, and I enjoy it, and I really, really had fun, and I really did. I don't always have fun on these things, and I wish you great success. And it's hard to move the needle with a podcast and do great things. And I'm sure you're feeling like you're moving the needle because you started this show with no listeners. And now the fact that there's three listening to this, you possibly could do.
We do okay. We don't do as well as you do. We do a couple thousand downloads a month.
I'm sure you do 1,000 times better than me.
No way. You are a great voice. You are a legend in the business. And honestly, this has been, I'm going to listen to this podcast probably about 1,000 times because I'm going to feel like you're telling me how to get my career where I want it to go. And so I 100% appreciate it, Luke. I know Luke, I'm not going to speak for Luke. I'm going to let Luke speak for himself. Go ahead, Luke.
Don't let Luke speak for himself. That'll never happen. You're going to have to speak for Luke. I mean, get some subtitles up here for Luke. No, I'm sorry, Luke. I'm not, I don't mean to make fun. People imitate me all the time and make fun of me all the time. So I'm just kicking the dog here. So,
yeah, I don't know what to say anymore. I'm so confused.
really best of luck. Honestly, I know you know what you have to do to move the needle. And so, you know, and interviewing me isn't it, but still, I think it's a start for something. No, but I really think that you know, everybody knows what to do. It's just that ego inside. And I'm not talking about the ego that's like, oh, he's got a large ego. I'm talking about the ego that says, hey, you know, you're really comfortable there where you are. I mean, you know, you don't have to go out and venture out and, you know, write that script. I mean, come on, Barry. I mean, it's, you know, it's just stay where you are, you know, the comfort zone. It's good there, you know, and you'll be happy. It's a happy place. You know, you don't want to go off and try that new thing. No, that's not going to be good for you. Bad things can happen. You just stay with what you're doing. It's good. Everybody loves you where you are in that same place you've been for the last 5 years. And that's what people do. And hopefully you guys will, you know, venture out and take risks and get out there and don't be afraid to fail. The last thing I'll say to you and the audience, one of the first times I went to Peter Engel's house, I produced Last Comic Standing with him. He created Saved by the Bell, and there was a paperweight on his desk. And I picked it up, and it said on the paperweight, I'll never forget this. It said, imagine what you could accomplish if you knew you could never fail. So think about that as you end this podcast. And, you know, I really, truly wish you guys the best that this crazy life offers.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. So please go check out Mr. Barry Katz. You can go to barrykatz.com. You can check out Industry Standard Podcast. Don't forget that his Blueprint for Success in Comedy is coming out sometime in July. He doesn't have a date yet, but I tell you right now, I'm going to be the first person to sign up for it because I am so ecstatic about it. Just this time that he spent with us has been, I don't know. I feel like you've already changed my life, and maybe that's just because I'm like a super big comedy nerd fan of yours, and I just have always kind of been that way about you. So thank you again. Luke, where can people find you at, sir?
Luke LaCoy on the internet.
Yes. And you can go to comedypreneur.com. That's where I write blog posts and all the stuff. You can go check out our YouTube, James D. Creviston. Or if you want to hire me to work on any jokes for you, write for you, do anything for you, go to fiverr.com/James D. Creviston. I can do everything you want. I'm super booked until July, but I will be more than happy to help you guys with anything you need. So thank you again. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Barry, and everybody have a great day and bye.